Standing all of the sanctuary, standing all of the sanctuary, join hands with your neighbor. We thank God for this opportunity to stand in his presence. We thank him that every day we wake up, he gives us new mercies. For his loving kindness, thank him for his grace that covers even our own proclivities. God, we thank you that you have loved us despite us. And this morning we are grateful that you have given us life, health, and our strength. I thank you for the person I'm standing beside, the hand that I'm holding. I have no clue as to all the things they've been through. but I just have an inkling that they are a survivor. And so, God, we thank you for these next few moments that my neighbor will acquiesce to another level in you. That power will be released and glory shall be revealed. And God, we pray that my neighbor's enemies stay alive long enough to see me blessed. God, I pray that it won't always be like this, that the Lord shall perfect that concerning me. And I may be low right now, but God, you get ready to turn it around by midnight tonight. And we decree and declare it in Jesus' name we pray. And I mean for everybody in this room that believes God for what you're standing beside, to take about 30 seconds, clap those hands, open your mouth, and give God praise all in the sanctuary. I said, open up your mouth and give God praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you have no idea what I've been through just this week. But just me being in the house of God is a miracle. I tell somebody who believes God, just lift up your hands, open up your mouth, and tell God thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I just want to 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 appreciate you. Don't worry about it. I ain't going to be long. I just need you to touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, Lord, I thank you. Because it could have been the other way. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. If you keep thinking about it, you start giving God praise. Lord, I thank you. Why, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. While you're still standing,
let's appreciate the shepherd of this house. Can we honor the Lord? Dr. Burnett, we thank God for him and his anointing. We thank the Lord for all that the Lord is doing in him. We had a chance to talk briefly. So we're grateful to the Lord. He has allowed him to pastor this church for 47 years. While you're standing, we honor all of the clergy that are on this sacred pulpit. We thank the Lord for the presider, my father-in-law. We thank the Lord. I feel God in this room. Yeah, I feel God in this room. I feel God in this room. Certainly we honor the Lord. To my wonderful wife, can you honor the Lord? Come on, can we celebrate? Can we celebrate the fragrance of one church? Ain't she pretty, y'all? Ain't she pretty? Sixteen years ago, I married a pretty girl, and she's still pretty. Amen. Ain't God good? To this wonderful praise team that's just been killing. My God. To our wonderful musicians. To our entire ministry staff, we honor the Lord. To our deacon, to our elder, to our administrative staff, Elders Lewis, to everybody. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, because you're here, you should give God praise. Because if the devil had it his way, you would have been in the ground by now. But God. But God. Mac, I ain't gonna show out too bad like I'm at the house. Listen, let's honor the Lord. My dad is here. Can you celebrate my dad? I have the best father in the world. We honor the Lord for my son being with me. Master Nicholas is a God priest. All right, y'all ready for the word? I know you're ready for the word because you'll be standing in rivers of God's word. We're at Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse number 25. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse number 25. We have been going and going all weekend. I'm so proud of many of you. We have been in church Friday night. I had to preach in Raleigh. Yesterday, we celebrated one of our son's anniversary, and today we're in church, and so we are grateful. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in the church than in the club. Come on here, somebody. If I can go from one club to another when I was young, then I can go to the church house and give God praise. You know, I used to go to a club that won't really jump, and you went to the other one across town. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. We honor the Lord for my mother-in-law being with us this morning. Someone who we love dearly, to my nephew who did such a wonderful job with the scripture, to my cousin singing such a wonderful job. All my life you have been faithful. That song did something to me, and so we're grateful. To my Aunt Peggy who was here, to everybody. Just touch your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here. And tell your neighbor, say, I'm so glad you survived. All right, I want to begin at verse number 25. If you have the word, shout, I have the word. If you do not have the word, say, preacher, please wait. Here we are at verse 25, and it reads, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26, what is in the written law? He replied, how do you read it? Verse 27, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all of your mind. Here it is, and love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 28, and you answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. Verse 29 then reads, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, I want you to be very clear that your neighbor is not the person that you live beside. All right? So because the person who lives beside you is the person who lives next door. It does not mean that's your neighbor. Now, let's talk about this. Verse number 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Verse 31 says, a churchman, a priest, happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, because of his religiosity, he passed by him on the other side. Verse number 32 says, so too a Levite, which means a prophet, came to the place and saw him and passed by him on the other side. All right. Verse 33 then reads, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey. that's significant, put him on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he took out of him 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense that you have. Verse 36 then reads, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? Verse 37 reads, the expert in the law replied, the one who has mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. I want to preach from the subject just for a few moments. Tell your neighbor, say, welcome home. And here's a subtopic of this. Look at your neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, hey, neighbor. No, look at your neighbor, say, hey, neighbor, hey, neighbor, hey, neighbor. You may be seated in the presence of our God until the Holy Ghost gets you up, which will be real soon. Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for this opportunity to preach. We honor you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I set the foundation for this text, and so take a few moments to peruse what God is trying to say to us tonight, this morning, it's very important to understand, those of us who are note takers, we must understand that this is not an actual something that happened, but this was a story. One thing about our Jesus is he is a master storyteller. This is what makes him one of the greatest preachers, because, Pop, all of his stories were so vivid. They brought us to life, but they also allowed for us to peruse or learn something from everything that he said. As you're studying the scripture, we must be able to understand what actually happened in Christianity and during Christendom, but we also must realize what stories God told. This was a parable because someone in the church was beginning to have some questions about Jesus and about all of the things that he had begun teaching. So someone had a challenge toward him. He says, as you look at verse 25, teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? As he began to ask him the question about having eternal life, he begins to ask, what is written in the law? How do I read it? Then Jesus began to talk to him and tell him that you're supposed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all of your spirit. Now, it is very evident to understand that there are very few people who really love God. Especially in this time when he is now reintroducing himself to the world, everybody's trying to figure out this guy who has just stepped on the scene. So how can I fall in love with something who has just been introduced? So he's a little different than us in our time, because we've got history with him, which proves our love for him. So now we look that Jesus is telling a story. He is explaining to us exactly what is going on during this time period. So now in this text, I want us for a few moments to deal with 3 different components. For those of you who are note takers, deal with 3 different key components in this text. 3 different people that I want to deal with in this text. The first person we got to deal with is the priest. Somebody say the priest. The next person we got to deal with is the Levite. Somebody say the Levite. And the third person that we've got to deal with is the Samaritan. Now, Jesus begins to explain this story that there is a man, watch this, that is now has been robbed by two robbers. He is going down minding his business, and two robbers interrupt his life, and now they beat him almost to death and leave him on the side of the road. He is now on the side of the road. The Bible says, Jalen, that he is half dead. He is half dead, and nobody recognizes that he is half dead. They are walking by him, and he is laying on the side of the road, and he is half dead. He has been beaten. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine how gory and how bloody it is that there is a man who has done nothing to anybody, but now his whole life has been interrupted. And if somebody does not come and get him, Katia, he is going to end up being full dead, because anything that you do not address ends up killing you. I'll say that again later. Anything that does not stop the trajectory of what you're doing is going to end up killing you. So something has to come stop or interrupt death. If not, then you will lay there in your situation and die. I'm gonna parenthetically insert this right here. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I thank God that he didn't leave me where he saw me. Y'all, okay. Because many of us in this room, if we be honest, we are grateful that God did not leave us in our sin, but he sent somebody to wake us up for us to get to our next level of life. I want you to take 10 minutes and open up your mouth. No, not 10 seconds. Open up your mouth and give God praise that he came and got you. Yeah. He came and got you. All right. It is noted during this time that the priest was headed to the temple. My God, the priest was headed to the temple, but overlooked the man that was dead. Okay, he headed to the temple, but overlooked the man that was dead. The priest represents, hear me carefully, those of you taking notes, the priest represents the law. What does this mean? That means he is a person that knows the law, but does not have a relationship with God. It is very important to understand that many of you know the Bible. My God. But do you know the God of the Bible in order to have a relationship with God? Now, relationship means that I look beyond the law and I understand that law says I shouldn't touch him. I shouldn't deal with him. I should just walk by him, because the law says if you don't know the story, then you walk by. Y'all ain't said nothing here. He could have went to the priest and sent somebody once he got to the sanctuary, sent someone to go back and get the man. That's the law. But what happens when relationship overcomes law? Y'all ain't said that here. That sometimes you got to realize that at this present moment, there is someone in my midst that is on their way to being dead. So my assignment is now bigger than my law. What happens when law circumvents relationship? What happens when relationship circumvents law? Now, the priest is worrying about law that he now overlooks the man by the ditch. Let me make this make sense to you. How many of you come to church every Sunday, but leave people laying in their own ditch? Because it don't have nothing to do with you. You would rather them not have their blood on you
so you walk right by. How many people do you go to work with every day who you know are half dead, but you won't minister to them? But you're so stuck on law because you're saying, all I want to do is just go to church. But my question to you is, are you really saved if you're trying to only keep it for yourself? True salvation is elevated into evangelism. Okay, can't nobody talk back to me here. Evangelism means the God that's in me, I'm willing to share it with everybody that's around me. I want you to do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, how many people on your job know you saved? Y'all quiet. How many people in your family know you love God? How many people? Oh, yeah, I didn't say go to church. I said, how many of you love God? Because there's a difference between going to church. And y'all ain't talking back to me. There's a difference between going to church and loving God. Because if you love God, you would have stopped and took care of the man.
So the priest is going to the sanctuary, but bypasses the man. How do you bypass your family but come to church while they're laying there dead? I'm gonna confront this tonight because many of us would rather shout in church than to pray for someone who cannot respond. Oh, God. What good is it to dance when you have no power to resurrect the dead? I want you to tell your neighbor, it's real quiet, it's real tight in here. I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God has given you power in this season. You ain't got to send the pastor to the hospital. Matter of fact, you're going to go yourself and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Signs and wonders shall follow the preacher. No. Signs and wonders shall follow the anointing. No. The signs and wonders shall follow the bishop. No. The Bible says signs and wonders, for 30 people that talk back to me, shall follow them that believe. And if you believe, then power should be released over your life. I'm getting ready to get out of here. Slap your neighbor and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is releasing power into your life. Oh, y'all ain't talk to your neighbor. I said, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, God is releasing power into your life. That means everybody who's sick in your life cannot stay sick because of the power that God has on your life.
All right, here it is. Here it is as we continue to peruse through the text. Watch this. The next person we got to deal with is the Levite. The Levite represents the prophet. What I don't understand is it is impossible for you to prophesy to people. Watch this. But you can't see when somebody is hurting. We got too many talkers and not enough signs. Who cares if you can tell me I'm going to get a house in 3 days if you can't see that I'm half dead? He is discussing the prophet here, the Levite, the person who leads us in worship, the person who is supposed to be connected to God, but yet you're so wrapped up into your agenda. You don't see the people that are laying there dead. Can I present this to the body of Christ? That many of us come to church every single Sunday. But if you be real to yourself, we're looking at people who come to our church every Sunday, but they're half dead. No life, no integrity, no character, no fire, no anointing, no real love for God. But yet we care about how much tithe they pay. But not understanding that they're paying tithes, but they're half dead while they're giving. How long are we going to allow our church people to bleed out while we're worried about our own agenda?
High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, make sure you tell your neighbor this. Say, neighbor, I will not let you die on my watch. Oh, that neighbor's the wrong neighbor. I said, slap your neighbor, high five. I'm going to get y'all out of here. I know y'all hungry. Slap your neighbor, high five, and tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you will not die on my watch. Matter of fact, I'm giving a shot to make sure you don't die. I'm giving a shot to make sure you don't die. Pull on your neighbor and say, get up, get up, get up, get up. Get out of your situation. God is getting ready to bring life to you. Anybody receive it in this house? I need a scream for your neighbor right now. Open up your mouth and give God praise. I'm getting ready to get you out of here. I said, pull on your neighbor. Do y'all know how to pull? I said, pull on your neighbor and say, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Get out of your place. I know you've been robbed. I know you've been mistreated. But don't just lay there. You got to get up from your situation. Anybody want to get up? Lift up your hands, open your mouth, and shout, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up. Shout, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up. Lift up your hands, shout, I'm up, I'm up, I'm up. Remain standing, I'm done. Watch this, here it is. Here it is, here it is. Levi, the prophet, missed it. This is why you need to ask, tell God thank you, because God has given you grace again. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hold on, hold on. Don't try to be deep. I'm talking about the things you missed. God is going to allow you to turn around and go back and fix the things you missed. How many need God to attend, give you another chance to work on some stuff that you know you messed up? So me bringing up, watch this, me bringing up the priest and the Levite was not for you to say, well, he ain't talking about me. No, I'm talking to you. Because at some season of your life, you acted like the priest. And some seasons of your life, you acted like the Levite. But in this season of your life, God is going to give you another chance to go back to the thing that was dead. Next point is this. Those who talk back to me, thank you for being my five-member church today. Talk back to me. Here it is. Here's clearly that the Samaritan man now represents, for 20 people that have screened, represents Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. For those of you who study the text, understand that the Samaritan was Jesus. He was explaining the story of Jesus, but he was also explaining that I am the Samaritan. But unless you got the revelation of the text, you wouldn't understand who the Samaritan really was. This is the grateful part about God. Good God Almighty, I feel like running in this church. The grateful thing about God is that the Bible says that the Samaritan came to the man. My God, help me. Say, everybody else passed on the other side. Y'all ain't hearing me? Okay. Y'all just missed what I said. Jesus comes to the man. Everybody else passes by him on the other side. This is why 20 of you should give God glory, because everybody else passed by me, but Jesus came to me. Oh. Okay, 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 okay. This is why you should be grateful, because when nobody else came and visited you, it was Jesus that came by and said, whatever you need, I'm going to handle it. Here it is. Remain standing. Here it is. Here it is. The Samaritan represents Jesus. He represents, watch this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, which says, he will never leave you. Never forsake you. The great part about it is a lot of people looked at your diagnosis and said, there's nothing we can do. Because their expertise couldn't look past your diagnosis. There's nothing that we can do for you. There is no change. It's not possible for you to get better. But Jesus said, give me her. Give me him. I can do something with him, because I was the one who birthed him.
And you, oh, y'all ain't said nothing in his house. And you can't be mad at people who couldn't see your freedom when they weren't the one that birthed you in the first place.
And so now, here it is, that now Jesus stands with the man. He brings the man to the innkeeper. God, and the innkeeper represents your pastor. Y'all ain't said nothing here. Grab your neighbor and say, he represents your pastor. Jesus sends you to a place while you recover. God, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I thank God for the inn, for the area, for the hospital that took care of me while I recovered. Oh God, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, I wish I had a talk back church. Y'all trying to be deep. I need a talk back church. I said, high five your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so grateful that the Lord sent me somewhere until I heal. Is there anybody grateful tonight? Is there anybody grateful this morning? Grateful for your church. Grateful for your man of God. That while you were bleeding on the outside, while you were bleeding on the inside, they said, go in there and lay down until you recover. Slap your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm on my way to recovery. I done been through some hell. I done been laid on the side of the road. But as of tonight, I can lift up my hands and say, God, I thank you that I did not die in my situation, but you came and saw by me. High five. Everybody on your road and say, I'm so glad I didn't stay where I was at, but God came and saw about me. Is there anybody grateful? I tell somebody that's grateful for the Samaritan. Is anybody grateful for your Jesus? I dare you right now to lift up your hands. I dare you to open up your mouth and give God high praise. I said, give him high praise. Take 30 seconds and give him high praise. Give him high praise. Open up your mouth and give him high praise. Give him high praise. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh, good preaching. Goes back to the text. Now we look at the text. Jesus, the good Samaritan in the story, gives the innkeeper 2 denarii for taking care of the man who wasn't able to take care of himself. He said, here go 2 denarii. And if his wounds accumulate more money, whatever is left, I'm giving to take care of it when I come back through. I got a word for 17 people that will lift up your hands. I got a word for 27 people that will lift up your hands and go crazy after I say this. I got a word for you. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got some issues. I know I got some bleeding. I know I'm damaged, but I dare somebody to lift up your hands and say these words, but Jesus
paid it all. Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Is there anybody grateful that Jesus, that Jesus, that Jesus, that Jesus paid it all? Lift up those hands. Open your mouth and shout, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that Jesus, 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 Jesus paid it all. And if you're glad, like I'm glad, jump to your feet, lift up your hands. Y'all didn't hear what I said. If you're grateful that Jesus paid it all, jump to your feet, lift up your hands, open your mouth, and tell God, I'm grateful that you didn't leave me, but you paid for me. Jesus paid it all. High five your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't you worry about it. Jesus, 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 Jesus paid it all. Anybody receive it? Lift up your hands and shout, Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Anybody know you owe God? Grab your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I owe God. 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 You be deep. I owe God. I lift my hands. Open my mouth. Shout. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I owe him everything because he gave me everything. And if you know you owe God, lift up your hand and tell God, thank you right now. Standing all over the sanctuary, I'm done. Standing all over the sanctuary, I'm done. Tell your neighbor, say, welcome home. Say, hey, neighbor. A neighbor is not a person you live beside. Watch this. A neighbor is a person you show mercy to. And tell your neighbor and say, and neighbor, until we understand how to show mercy on people who live with us, we will never become a home. Tell your neighbor, say, until you have mercy for the people around you and for the people you meet and for the people you come in contact with, our churches will never be home. So, Adrian, I can say welcome home all day, but unless I show mercy on the ones who come in the room. You are not my neighbor. The scripture says the only way you become a neighbor is unless you put your fingerprints on my wounds. God, till you can carry me to the innkeeper and say, take care of him, and I'll be back. The problem with you is you don't want to put your fingerprints on nothing. You rather talk about everything than to touch something. So now here it is. You've been saved 15 years and nobody has been changed because of your life.
You mad with everybody else for the reason why change can't happen. But until there's blood on your hands, until you're willing to pick somebody else up. Homecoming will be the same every year, but will it feel like home? It can't feel like home until I can see my blood on your hands. If Jesus was good enough to come get you, how come you can't be good enough to go get somebody else? Church people make me sick because they're good enough to talk about somebody, but not kingdom enough to pick somebody up. First, because you don't even have the knowledge, because you don't even know how to come in their direction. So you go on the other side because you say, I ain't dealing with that. And we tell them to follow us to church, but we refuse to grab their hand. They can't follow you if they can't feel you. We're trying to figure out why in this new age we get mad at churches of us who are growing because we're willing to put our hands on people. When there's a church amongst the church that refuses to touch what they cannot understand. So you rather look good with nothing on your suit. You rather drive by your five nephews who's sitting on the corner to come to church to count money. What's wrong with this picture? Where you'd rather be a Levite than a Samaritan. I came with a word today that's going to be tough for you. Tell your neighbor, say, be a neighbor finally. That means show mercy. That means say, I don't care what you got on today. Just come in the house of God. I'm just glad you're here. Do I need to take you home? Do I need to go get you something to eat? Do I need to feed you? Are you good? Because I'm going to be a Samaritan. Here's a word that I want to share for everybody in this room. Be a Samaritan. Stop being hung up on being a Levite. Many of you want to be seen, but you're never heard. Many of you want to be seen, but you're unwilling to touch. And in this season, nobody cares about microphones. There's a nation out there dying. And we're worried about how to preach when we don't even know how to preach. And you preach by your lifestyle, not by how you peruse the text. But the text does not come alive until they see it in your mouth, until they see it in your life. Join hands with the neighbor beside you. Tell them, say, for the rest of my life, I'll never look at neighbor the same. Remember, I told you, just because they live beside you doesn't make them your neighbor. A neighbor is, I have mercy on your situation. Now, some of you, mercy has ran out because you've been the same way for 25 years. Why? This was talking about a person who did not know God. Hear me carefully. Some of y'all been doing the same thing for too long, and it's time for you to shift. This ain't a message for you to just go out and do whatever you want to do. Talk about work with me. No. This is a message for some of you to change. This is mercy for those of us who are coming in who do not know God at all. You're going to keep gossiping for the rest of your life and still expect to go to heaven. Join hands with your neighbor. Father, we thank you so much for this night, this morning, this afternoon, the time with your believers allowed to allow us to see that in order for us to say the words, welcome home, we've got to first be neighbors. Lord, allow us to be the best neighbors we can be.
and allow for us to walk in the anointing of the Master. Father, we thank you for this day. God, now I release mercy on my neighbor's life. Come on, neighbor, open your mouth. Come on, neighbor, open your mouth. I release mercy on my neighbor's life. Even areas in their life they're trying to get together. I decree and declare now, they will not be in this season half dead. I decree and declare. Oh, Shiana Mahaya. Shiana Bohosha. I decree and declare that you shall release mercy over their lives. Every head bow, every eye closed. There may be someone here in this room. You say, Pastor Nick, I'm in a half-dead situation. Every intercessor, pray now. Open your mouth. There may be in this room right now. You say, Pastor Nick, what you said was so awesome, was so spot on for my life. I've been left for dead. I feel like I've been left alone. I have nothing and nobody. I feel like I'm by myself. But God, I need you to come pick me up today. I'm that one that is releasing that lifeline. I need you today. I need you to touch me so I can come alive. If I'm talking to you in this room and it got to take all day, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to lift up both your hands, no matter where you at. You say, Pastor Nick, you're talking to me. I'm in a half-dead situation. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm depressed. I'm frustrated. I'm going through. I'm angry. And it seems like everybody doesn't notice me, but today God said, I'm coming to stop by and see you. If I'm talking to you, do me a favor. Every eye closed. Nobody looking at you funny. I want you to lift both your hands as high as you can. If I'm talking to you, lift your hands. If I'm talking to you, lift your hands. Do me a favor. This next step is so big. I need you to do me a favor. This next step is so big. I want to pray for you. Can you do me a favor? I saw those hands lifted. If you can do me a favor, don't you worry about who's in this room. Don't worry about who's looking at you funny. Do me a favor. Get out of your seat. Come meet me at this altar now. Move now. Come on, move now. Come on, move now. Move now. Come on. I just saw your hand lifted. Don't you allow anybody in this room to make you move. Come on, lift your hands. Come on. I saw some others. Come on. Jesus says, Come on. Now, this is how I know that some of you ain't got the spirit. Because if you had the spirit, you'd be going crazy for somebody giving their life to the Lord. Open up your mouth and give God a shout of praise. Now, there's some of you, I saw your hand raised, but you let fear keep you in your seat. And I understand, I get it. Some environments might not feel free enough to come and lift your hands. But those who are at this altar, do me a favor, lift up your hands. The ministers, would you go down and pray with them? Come on, all the ministers that are here from both churches, can you just pray? Come on, all ministers from both churches, can you just pray? Come on. To the apples. Come on. Ministers, come on, ministers, come on, come on. Come on, can you pray with them? Come on, ministers. Come on, ministers, can you pray? Deacons, come on, can you pray? Come on. Come on, hey. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesus. Yeah, there may be some other ministers in the room. Come on, let's pray. If you're here and you say, Pastor Nick, I just need prayer. I just need you to touch and agree with me. I want you to just come to the altar. I just need you to touch and agree with me. Come on, I need you to come. I need you to come. Come on, I need you to come. Come on, I need you to come. Hey, come on, be a good Samaritan. Come on. Talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, do you need help? Do you need help? Do you need help praying for something? Let's go down to the altar together. I'll walk with you. I'll walk with you. I believe God for you. I'm here with you. Come on, let's pray. Come on. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Jesus said. Yeah. Come on. Those who are in your seats, I need you to stretch a hand toward them, because that means you're saying I'm alive. So if you're alive, you need to be stretching your hand and praying. Come on. Come on. Get what you need, mother. Come on.
To the utmost, Jesus say, to the utmost, Jesus say,
He will pick you up, and turn you around. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, if you're excited about every person who came to this altar for their life to be altered, can we open our mouth and give God praise all in the sanctuary? Can we open our mouth and give God praise in the sanctuary? Come on, can we give God praise in the sanctuary? What's your name? There's something special about her. What's your name?
Who? Crystal?
What's your baby's name?
Who?
Are these your babies? These your nieces? And your name is what again? Crystal, lift your hands. My God, today. Crystal, step 3 steps closer to me. Simone, stand behind her. We get ready to shout in this house. We get ready to be a neighbor. Lift up your hands, Crystal. My God, today. You need a miracle. You need God to do something. You're in a rough season. But Crystal, the Lord said He just turned it around for you. I'm really trying to behave. Lord, I'm really trying to behave, but I feel something. I know y'all worried about Tom, but I feel something for this baby. Hold on. There's another part of this prophecy. I've been smelling the spirit of suicide. You've been wanting to take your life. If I'm wrong, just stop me. The Lord said you've been wanting to take your life. But Crystal, I heard the Lord say you came to church. And the Lord has given me to change the trajectory of your life. The Lord said you're behind on some things and God has given me to catch you up. The Lord says you've had a season of unfortunate events. But the Lord said He sent me today. If I didn't come to this church for nobody else, we came to this church for you. Crystal, your life just shifted forever. And Crystal, I promise you this. If you give God praise for the next 30 seconds, I'm getting ready. Hold God. I'm getting ready to give you the job you need. And I'm getting ready. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And if you got any sense, all I need is 17 people just to shout for them. Oh, just to shout. I got to get out of here.
to get out of here. Excuse me, I feel something. I got to get out of here. Marcus, I'm really trying to behave. But I hear the Lord say today, I'm getting ready to resurrect Crystal into a new season of her life. And if you believe God, like I believe God, open up your mouth and give God a shout. Shout. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Y'all pull Crystal up. Y'all pull Crystal up. Y'all pull Crystal up. Y'all pull Crystal up. Help her, help her. Lift your hands high. Move over here. Oh my God. Crystal, you from Goldsboro? Who you live with? You and your husband. Where your husband? At home. Your husband's struggling financially. Huh? Be honest. Kana Bohosha. Lift your hands high. You tell the husband, if he give his life to the Lord, I'm going to fix everything concerning y'all. That's first. Number two, the Lord is getting ready to stop death from hitting your house. Oh. Hold up. Hold up. Hold up. God help me. God help me. Because death is trying to come to the husband. But I decree and declare now that the blood of Jesus is against it.
No, this is why ain't none of y'all giving God praise. Because you remember when you were almost out there, but somebody came and prayed over you. Somebody prayed for you. Had you on your mind. Took a little time and prayed.
So, yeah, this is a twofold thing. We're going to pray for the husband to change. And number two, we're going to pray for edge of protection around the house. The address is covered and there will be no bullets that shall come in there. When I lay hands on you, your whole life going to shift. I told the church Friday, I go through pain so you can experience power. The only reason you go through rough places in your life is not for you. It's for you to release power on the people that have come around you. So in one of the seasons that I'm most vulnerable is the season I'm most powerful. Lift up your hands, because my vulnerability is going to equal your power. Everybody in this room, lift up your hands if you could identify with what she's got going on in her life. Because many of you are in that same situation until Jesus, the Good Samaritan, came and picked you up. I'm going to lay hands on you. There's going to be a power that's going to come through your body. And the things that you were once partaking in, you can no longer be a part of. There is an anointing on your life. You are different. You should have been dead years ago. But his grace and mercy over your life kept you alive for this time right now, because you have power in your mouth and there is an anointing on your life that shall never, never be quenched. I need for everybody in this room, take 30 seconds, open up your mouth, give God a shout of praise in the room right now.
I said, open up your mouth and give God a shout.
Touch Crystal now. Touch Crystal now. Touch Crystal. Shit.
Now, everybody in the room, open up your mouth and give God a shout in the room. I said, open up your mouth.
I got to get out of here.
I could go all night. I got to get out of here. I said, open up your mouth and give God a shout, because God just resurrected Crystal's life.
Whew. All right, tell your neighbor this. Say, neighbor. Say, neighbor. Crystal represents every person in my life that needs a shift immediately. If you're in this room
and know anybody in your life that need God to turn it around for them right now. There is a 30-second window that just opened that you got to give God praise with everything in you. I need everybody on your row to start giving God praise now. Start giving God praise now. And watch what God does.
Oh, I didn't know Pastor had come back in here. We're back. But I can't turn him loose. I've been turning you loose until he has the final say.
Let's thank God for his strength. One thing about me and my people will tell you, I always believe in honoring those who paved the way for us. There would be no one church if it wasn't for Central Heights. We have the foundation, y'all, in order for us to build what we have. So can you give God praise for that song? I told him today, I said, man, you look 65. I said, you look real good. He said, no, I ain't 65. He said, I'm 81 years old. And been pastoring 47 years. Lift up your hands. Father, we thank you for this day. A day that history was made. God, we thank you for this beautiful homecoming. And we thank you for the love that's in this room. God, we thank you for a forever connection between us and this church. God, we thank you for the daughters that you've birthed out of here, the sons that you birthed out of here. We thank you for the anointing on this man of God. God, we pray that with long life, you will satisfy him. God, we pray that he will continue to stay strong in the mind, strong in the body, and strong in the spirit. We thank you, God. We give your name the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the choir sing. Come on. Come on, sing. Come on, let's sing it together. Come on. Why? Come on, let's sing it together. Sing. Father, we thank you for this anointing. We thank you for this power. And we thank you for this glory. We decree and declare this shall be the best week of our lives. And the glory of the Lord shall follow us. And we shall be Samaritans to everyone. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said amen. Hug your neighbor and tell them you love them. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed by giving God glory.